Gregory Link on behalf of Brandon Bigsby in this case. I'll reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. There is no statutory authority that exists that permits the trial court to sanction someone who's on community custody. In fact, the statute that exists plainly provides that authority to the department alone. If we look at RCW 994A-6332, it has seven subsections that address a variety of circumstances, and in some instances it gives...
You know, it's undisputed what that section says.
Okay.
Okay. But also section 994B-040 does provide the court, among other statutes actually, does provide the court with authority to impose sanctions.
Well,
and it says that the note to that section says it applies to all crimes committed on or after August 1st, 2009, which would be the case in this matter. Am I right?
Except for the language that in the first statute in that chapter expressly says that chapter 994B applies to offenses committed prior to July 1, 2000.
It does say that.
To offenses prior to 2000.
But the note on the application of the statute says it applies to all crimes committed on or after August 1st, 2009?
Well, the note itself is not the statutory language. The statutory language is what we find in subsection 10 and subsection 30. Subsection 10 plainly says that chapter only applies to offenses committed prior to 2000. Also, if we look at 030 itself, it applies to post-release supervision, which is a creature that no longer exists under Washington law. That was something that existed through the 90s and 2000s. It was a specific term defined in the statute as something that encompassed both community custody, community placement, and post-release supervision. That doesn't exist anymore. Now we have community custody. We have community custody alone. Now, there are still people who are serving terms of post-release supervision for offenses committed prior to the changes of the statute. There are still people that will get out of prison and serve post-release supervision for offenses committed prior to 2000. But as a under the SRA as it currently exists and as it existed in Mr. Bigsby's case, the court's only ability is to impose community custody. And community custody is specifically delineated by the SRA, and the ability to sanction for that is specifically provided to the department. And that's what the department did in this case. Now, Mr. Bigsby was sanctioned for failing to show up at a review hearing, but he was, in fact, in Department of Corrections custody for that same violation.
Sanctioned for failing to get a violation. I mean, failing to get an evaluation. Isn't that what the court said?
And he was sanctioned by the Department of Corrections for doing that.
Well,
because the Department of Corrections had the authority to sanction him for doing that. He was over in Yakima serving out that violation that was imposed by the department. He was then sanctioned by the court for precisely the same thing. Now, I don't know how one reads 6332 to say anything other.
I don't think that's exactly accurate, at least as I read the record. I think he was sanctioned by DOC for failing to complete treatment, among other things, but not for failing to get an
It was the same condition. There was only one condition, treatment condition imposed, and he was sentenced in May. He was sanctioned in August by the department. 6332 plainly says the department alone has the authority to impose that sanction. There is simply nothing that, I mean, if
it doesn't say alone. It says the department has the authority.
It says any sanction shall be imposed by the department.
Yeah, but it doesn't say alone.
It doesn't say alone, but it says any sanction, not just some sanctions, but any sanction. It leaves no ability, and then it expressly says in other circumstances the court may impose sanctions. This is not other.
How do you distinguish other statutes like 994A-505 and 994A-633, both of which authorize the court to sanction for violation?
It has to be read in harmony with 6332, which says that when you're under community custody, the department alone has authority to sanction. I don't think there's anything in those statutes that permits the court to impose a community custody sanction. Again, if we read them to say that, then 6332 is entirely useless. There's no reason to have it. We could just go back to the way the statute existed prior to 2008 that said either the department or the court may impose a sanction. We don't have that statute anymore. We have this statute. That statute was recodified as 994B. There would simply be no reason to have 6332 if that's what it meant. The legislature could have simply left things as they were and said either entity can impose sanctions on either case. It doesn't say that anymore. I think we have to follow the plain language of 6332. And let me just say, too, the court didn't think it had authority under the other statute. The trial court thought it had inherent authority to do what it was doing. And that's something that's never been true since the SRA was adopted. Nammons tells us that there is no inherent authority under the SRA. It's either in the statute or it's not. So we have to look at the statute here. So what the court did was plainly wrong. Its belief as to its authority was plainly outside of the scope of the statute.
We don't really care what its belief was. We care what the statute gives it authority.
And the statute that was in front of it and that is in front of this court plainly dictates that the department alone has the authority to sanction for community custody violations. 994B, by its own terms, only applies to offenses committed prior to 2000. This was not one of those offenses.
So the other statutes that give authority to sanction for violations, we should disregard those?
They don't say specifically that a court can impose sanctions for a community custody violation.
As part of any sentence, a court may impose and enforce crime-related prohibitions and affirmative conditions.
That would be what used to constitute post-release supervision. This is a condition of community custody. There are differences. The court can impose things like LFOs, and it has the ability to enforce those beyond the term of community custody. It has the ability to impose things like treatment. And has the ability to enforce those outside of the term of community custody. But while the person is on community custody, the department and the department alone has the authority to sanction. The provisions you're talking about speak to situations where the person is not on community custody.
What if the person's on community custody, gainfully employed, but not paying LFOs? Does the court have the authority to act with respect to the LFOs during the term of community custody?
During the term of community custody, no. The department alone would have the authority to act on LFOs. Outside of the term of community custody, the answer is yes. The court would have the authority to impose sanctions.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, please the court. Jeff Aaron Fine, Deputy Prosecuting Attorney for Snohomish County, representing the respondent of the state of Washington. Prior to 2008, it was clear that the trial court had authority to impose sanctions under this kind of circumstance. State v. Gamble said so. The position of the appellant is that that authority was eliminated by the 2008 amendments to the Sentencing Reform Act. The problem with that argument was that the legislature expressly said that those amendments were not intended to alter the authority of the sentencing court vis-a-vis the Department of Corrections. And what they're suggesting is that the legislature apparently inadvertently worked a very profound alteration by
Is there something in the statute that says if a defendant is placed on community custody, then the court lacks authority to sanction for violations?
No, there is a statute saying that the Department of Corrections has authority. The argument is that by giving it to the Department of Corrections, it was taken away from the trial court, and that's precisely the same argument that was rejected in Gamble under an earlier version of the statute. To say the Department of Corrections has authority to do X is not to say that the trial court lacks that authority. Now, I think one of the key points that's been raised here is the argument that, the statute that's now 994B040, the statute that was interpreted in Gamble as giving authority to the trial court, is no longer in effect because of the scope provision of Chapter 994B. So I'd ask the court to look at that carefully. It's 994B010, subparagraph 1. It says, this chapter codifies sentencing provisions that may be applicable to sentences for crimes committed prior to July 1st, 2000. Contrary to what counsel has told you today, that does not say that they are only applicable to crimes committed before July 1, 2000. There was a recodification of this particular provision, but it was not amended and it was not repealed and therefore remains in effect.
Is it unclear what the legislature was trying to do here? I mean, it seems, at least one could argue, that there's a statute that that gives authority, and there's another statute which seems to say you don't have authority. Is that – how do you reconcile those things?
Well, if one put aside the intent section of Laws of 2008, Chapter 231, I would say, yes, you know, there is unclarity. There are some statutes that could be read in different ways, and perhaps the court would fall back on the rule of lenity to reconcile those. However, here we do have a specific intent section. So although the language may have been somewhat clumsy, what the legislature was intending to do is crystal clear, to preserve the respective allocations of authority that existed prior to 2008, but to they wanted to simplify and clarify the community custody provisions, and perhaps they weren't so successful in making them as clear as we might wish. But the intent is clear. The intent was to preserve the same allocation of authority. The allocation of authority gave this authority to the trial court, and therefore it remains unchanged, and it is still there. It is not an authority that our trial courts have been eager to exercise in many cases, but it remains in their enforcement toolbox. Its use in this case should be upheld, and more significantly, the court should clarify for the future that that power remains available. I'd ask that the order be affirmed.
All right, thank you.
I think it's important to return to where we started this off, Judge Spearman, when you pointed out that no one doubts that the statute says what it says. This statute's not ambiguous. We don't get to interpret this statute. This statute says if the offender is being supervised by the department, any sanction shall be imposed by the department. Subsection 8 says if the offender is not being supervised by the department, any sanction shall be imposed by the court. There's no ambiguity there. Mr. Bigsby's being supervised by the department. Under this statute, any sanction shall be imposed by the department. There's no ambiguity. We don't get to look at legislative intent. We don't get to look at other statutes. But even if we did look at other statutes, we go back to 994B. We go to subsection 010. And when the state says this may apply, what the legislature is telling courts is, look, there's this group of people out there that were sentenced prior to 2000 under different sentencing schemes. You need to be aware of them, and this is where you're going to find the remedies and the authority for dealing with those people. That's what that section is saying. It is not saying that this applies equally with everything else we've said since then, because if that's the case, 6332 means nothing. I've in the briefing and in argument here today, I've yet to hear the state say, what does 6332 mean if it doesn't mean the department gets authority here and the court gets authority here? It's a useless statute. It was a waste of paper when it was enacted in 2008, and I suggest it would be a waste of paper today. That can't be. So even if we do get to the question of interpreting statute, we can't just ignore this one. This is the one that applies to people who committed their offenses after July of 2000. This is the one that applies to Mr. Bigsby. It is not ambiguous, it is plain, and it was violated by the trial court's action. And the state has offered you nothing that suggests otherwise. Their whole effort is ignore what the legislature said because they didn't really mean that. Well, how do we know what the legislature meant? Because this is what they wrote. I'd ask the court to follow it. I'd ask the court to reverse. Now, in this case, it's technically moot, but I'd ask the court to issue an order that says, no, this statute says what it means. The department gets to sanction people that's supervising. The court gets to sanction people that aren't being supervised by the department. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.